continue our fall series, Do Unto Others. Throughout this series, we've been learning that we are to treat others as we would want them to treat us, by showing kindness, compassion, and humility. And today, we focus on respect. The Oxford Dictionary defines respect as a feeling of deep admiration for someone or elicited by their abilities, qualities, or achievements. And two, due regard for the feelings, wishes, rights, and traditions of others. Treating someone with respect means showing regard for their abilities and worth, valuing their feelings and their views, accepting them on an equal basis, and giving them the same consideration you would expect for yourself. Easy to say, but hard to do, right? It's hard to accept people on an equal basis, to value another's feelings and views, especially when they don't agree with yours. It's so much easier to put someone down or to build yourself up instead. That's what was happening at the church in Corinth. This church was full of schisms and divisions. This division was seen in the socioeconomic status between different members. It was seen in the difference between the wealthy and the poor at the communion table. Members of this congregation were even taking each other to court. This spilled over into the issue of spiritual gifts. Who got the best gifts or who got the most gifts created points of pride and contention among church members. So Paul begins by reminding them in chapter 12, verse 4, that there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. Here, Paul emphasizes both gifts and their origins, which is the Spirit. While there are many gifts, there is the same Spirit. And it is the same Spirit that chooses which gift to bestow on each and knows what gift is needed for each. The church needs diverse gifts and related works, such as those found in verse 8 to 10. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of powerful deeds. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But what does Paul say about all these variety of gifts? They all come from where? The same Spirit, however diverse and different they may be. The implication is that church members have to recognize other kinds of gifts and cooperate with one another. The Spirit does not promote individualism or elitism that does not edify the whole community, the whole body of Christ. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for what? The common good. That's what it says in verse 7. The gifts are given for the common good of others, which means that the gifts are not to be used for self-promotion or selfish reasons. Rather, they must be used for strengthening the community by taking care of the weak and despised in society. The purpose of different gifts is to make the church stronger and useful to more people. But many folks in the Corinthian church didn't see it that way. So Paul provides a helpful metaphor for this congregation and us. But that congregation was full of different people. All congregations are that way as well. So he says this in verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? God has carefully placed each part of the body right where he wanted it, each its proper size and in its proper place. No part is important on its own, and each part is needed for the whole body to function properly. Is it possible that a part of the root cause of our division these days come from us being unable to recognize and respect that each of us carries different burdens, different responsibilities, and different stories with us? It can be so easy to misunderstand when we interpret what someone says or does through the lens of our story, rather than being curious about the lens they carry from their story. Quaker teacher Parker Palmer suggests that when the going gets rough, turn to wonder. When the going gets rough, usually what happens, we want to run or fight or disengage completely. But this saying tells us that we should instead turn to wonder, because wonder directs us to sacred curiosity. So instead of thinking, oh my gosh, what he said really ticked me off, we might instead ask, I wonder why that led me to feel so strongly. Or I wonder why her story led her to say that in such a triggering way for me. Curiosity helps us to consider seeing things from another person's point of view. So think about it this way. If the other person is a toe with a different perspective and role, and we are a finger, we would be seeing and perceiving things from a completely different vantage point and concerned about something totally different from a completely different, we'll be concerned about something wholly different than what a toe would be concerned about, right? Hopefully that made sense. Okay. Yeah. But no. But think about it, right? If the other person is a toe with a completely different perspective and role, and we are a finger, we would be seeing and perceiving things from a different vantage point and concerned about something wholly different than what a toe would. So instead of being stuck in our own view, maybe we should be open and curious about the views of others and respect and honor their views, especially if they are different than ours. The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. The church, this congregation, needs all the different gifts we have to do the work of the body of Christ. We have many different personalities, many different gifts and interests, many different ways of looking at the world, many different life experiences and types of education and work experience and so on. None of us are the same as everyone else. And all of us have been brought together into one community to be the body of Christ in the world, which means that all of us are all needed to accomplish our mission and purpose as a church. Treat others as you would want them to treat you. Treating someone with respect means showing regard for their abilities and worth, valuing their feelings and their views, even if you don't necessarily agree with them, accepting them on an equal basis, and giving them the same consideration you would expect for yourself. How do we treat others? Those we see every Sunday and those we see every day. Do we show them respect, show regard for their abilities and worth, value their feelings and views, accept them on an equal basis? I'm going to share with you a story that I found online. It goes like this. I ran into a stranger as he passed by. Oh, excuse me, please, was my reply. He said, please excuse me too. I wasn't watching for you. We were very polite, the stranger and I. We went on our way. We said goodbye. But at home, a different story is told, how we treat our loved ones, young and old. Later that day, cooking the evening meal, my son stood beside me very still. When I turned, I nearly knocked him down. "Move out of the way," I said with a frown. He walked away, his little heart broken. I didn't realize how harshly I'd spoken. While I lay awake in bed, God's still small voice came to me and said, "While dealing with a stranger, common courtesy you use, but the family that you love, you seem to abuse. Go and look on the kitchen floor. You'll find some flowers there by the door. Those are the flowers he brought for you. He picked them himself, pink, yellow, and blue. He stood very quietly, not to spoil the surprise. You never saw the tears that filled his little eyes. By this time, I felt very small, and now my tears began to fall. I quietly went and knelt by his bed. "Wake up, little one, wake up," I said. "Are these the flowers you picked for me?" He smiled. "I found them out by the tree. I picked them because they're pretty like you. I knew you'd like them, especially the blue." I said, "Son, I'm very sorry for the way I acted today. I shouldn't have yelled at you that way." He said, "Oh, Mom, that's okay. I love you anyway." I said, "Son, I love you too, and I do like the flowers, especially the blue." What a great story. It's also a tearjerker. But it also reminds us that how we treat others is important. We need to treat others with patience, understanding, and respect. We may not know what they're going through, why they think the way they do, or they act the way that they do. But we do need to accept them and love them because they are a child of God just like you and me. They deserve to receive the love and grace and mercy of our amazing God. So let's do unto others and treat others with respect, just as we would want them to respect us.